Una Stannard, you're the Chief Executive and Director of the Catholic Education Service for England and Wales, aren't you? And the coordinator of this so-called Big Assembly, the meeting that Pope Benedict will have at St Mary's University College. Can you tell us a bit about this meeting, first of all?
Pope Benedict's visit to St Mary's University College is actually an event of three separate events within it. And I'm very privileged to be the Vice Chair of the Board of St Mary's University College, as well as being the Chief Executive of the Catholic Education Service. So to just put it in a little bit of context, the Pope arrives and joins with the leaders of religious orders and also the leaders of Catholic education in the diocese in the chapel at St Mary's University College. So they have some time for prayer and reflection there. And then the Pope comes out and we begin the big assembly. And that big assembly involves over 4,000 people, most of them, of course, being children, young people and students. So we then have the joy of the Holy Father with us to celebrate Catholic education and for us to show him a very warm welcome to England, although of course we have young people from Wales and from Scotland with us as well.
So they're drawn from Catholic schools right across the country?
They're drawn from Catholic schools across the three countries. And also, when the Pope arrives, we're very conscious that he's arriving in the borough of Richmond-upon-Thames, and there is a great deal of interest in the borough of Richmond-upon-Thames as well in the Holy Father's visit to St Mary's University College. And of course, many of the schools, community schools, not just Catholic schools, have an involvement with the college. They join in various activities there, make use in particular of the college's fantastic Olympic standard running track and so on. And therefore, there's a great enthusiasm from across all kinds of schools in the borough to see the Pope and to be involved. So when the Pope arrives, he will be greeted by nearly 500 young people from schools across the borough and neighbouring boroughs waiting for him outside the chapel to give him a really rousing welcome.
And for the actual assembly itself, you've got quite a well-known face, haven't you? A TV presenter who's going to be on hand to welcome the Pope together with the children.
We have. We're really delighted that Andy Akinwolera, who is a presenter on BBC's Blue Peter, which is an absolutely renowned programme, he is going to be the master of ceremonies, the presenter of the big assembly. And of course, Andy went to a Catholic school himself. He went to St Thomas Aquinas School up in the Archdiocese of Birmingham, and he's really proud and thrilled to be doing this himself. So it feels like a sort of very family occasion and a kind of homecoming for all of us gathering around the Holy Father.
Now, you've obviously been preparing these children, or the schools across the different countries, Scotland, England and Wales, have been preparing these children, obviously, in the weeks leading up to this visit. What kind of message are they expecting from Pope Benedict?
The diocese have been preparing, as you say, in this lead-up over a number of months. And the first thing, of course, is that the diocese had the difficult job of deciding how could they provide places for their pupils at the big assembly, because it was going to be impossible for everybody to attend. So the diocese have gone through lotteries and all sorts of different ways of drawing together the groups of pupils coming to Twickenham. And then in the background, they've been making use of CSEW's blogs and various materials that we've been able to share with them, as well as all their own contacts, to prepare by ensuring that pupils know and understand a little more about the personal history of Pope Benedict, for example, about the role of the Holy Father, and about the place of his visit as the first state visit to the United Kingdom of a Pope. So there's been lots of different activities for that preparation, and indeed there are going to be lots more happening around the United Kingdom during the papal visit and the big assembly for those many hundreds of thousands of pupils who can't be with us physically. They will be joining remotely, because the whole of the big assembly is going to be streamed live over the web. And we know, for example, that up in York there are going to be thousands of pupils from Catholic schools gathered on York Racecourse, having a picnic, watching the papal visits big assembly and joining in remotely. We know in the Diocese of Northampton that Cardinal Newman School has chosen its whole school council to come and be part of the big assembly. So there's all these wonderful little cameos of the way in which it's exciting pupils in individual schools and the whole diocesan thrust to be part of this absolutely fantastic day.
And Pope Benedict himself is going to be inaugurating, isn't he, a new facility there on campus at St Mary's, I believe.
He is. Part of the big assembly is the inauguration of the John Paul II Foundation for Sport, in which representatives of that new foundation will come to greet the Pope and to make pledges in front of the Pope about what being a true sports person is and the spirit of sport and excelling to give of your personal best and to use your God-given talents. And the Holy Father will bless a candle that they will offer to him, and then there will be candles lit from this candle in every cathedral throughout England and Wales.
Quite significant, of course, as preparations for the London Olympics begin to take shape.
Well, it is, and it's particularly resonant of St Mary's that should be happening there, because St Mary's has an Olympic running track and we are the place where many Olympians train. So we're also expecting that in the warm-up to the big assembly that the pupils and young people gathered there are going to meet a number of really famous Olympians who have a role at St Mary's or who have trained at St Mary's. So sport is one of the ways in which the big assembly is interpreting our assembly theme of I have come that you may have life and have it to the full from St John's Gospel. And we're taking four themes within that, one of which is sport, another is friendship, another is community, and then, of course, the theme of faith. And we're going to live those out in the big assembly. We're going to celebrate those in a joyous and affirming way.
You're there in St Mary's, which is, in fact, one of the oldest training colleges, isn't it, in the United Kingdom, Catholic training colleges to promote Catholic education. Tell us a little bit about the history of the college.
Well, St Mary's now University College goes back a very long way. It's had an existence on a prior site to Twickenham as well. And you're absolutely right, it's been at the forefront of providing teachers for Catholic schools. But it's evolved a lot since then too. It began as an all-male college, and you're right, it began as a teacher training college. It now has over 4,000 full-time equivalent students. Many are studying for teaching or postgraduate qualifications related to education, but many more are studying in other areas, for instance law, studying things related to sports science and business, very, very prominent and successful school of theology. So it's got a very broad base, and as I say, it's now a university college awarding its own degrees. So we're very proud of it within the Catholic community. And it indeed is serving the wider community, the church and beyond.
Let's take a little bit of a broader view for a moment and look at the whole role of Catholic education in England and Wales there. It's always been a priority really for the church, hasn't it?
Yes, without question. Following the restoration of the hierarchy in England and Wales, the bishops made it a clear avowed priority to give prominence to Catholic education even before the building of churches. And that's put education, Catholic education, at the heart of the church's mission, and we have a very important and celebrated partnership between parish, home and school. So we now have in England and Wales over 2,300 Catholic schools which are in partnership with government in terms of how our schools are funded. We have over 800,000 pupils in our schools, and we form over 10% of the country's school places. So we're a very central provider, and we're in a statutory partnership with government, whilst ensuring through our negotiations legally and all our policy discussions with government that we've retained the rights and responsibilities to ensure that as a church, the education in our Catholic schools is authentically Catholic. So it's a very unique and special relationship between us and government to provide education to the nation.
You're talking about, as you say, negotiations with the government. It's true that there's been very strong pressure in recent years, hasn't there, to eliminate faith schools altogether. They're seen as somehow fomenting sectarian divisions.
I think you're right if you're suggesting that there is a vociferous group of people, particularly coming from the British Humanist Association and a couple of prominent philosophers who get a lot of airtime, that they would like to see a demise or reduction in schools with a religious character. But I think we need to bear in mind that the evidence speaks for itself. Schools with a religious character are widely oversubscribed throughout our nation, be they our Catholic schools or the schools of the Church of England or other faiths. So people do actually want our schools. They're strong and they're vibrant. And it's the case that there are many more who I think form the quieter majority who really support and ensure the continued existence of our schools because they deliver something that is absolutely second to none and invaluable. They are obviously responsible for the well-rounded formation of the pupils within them and then in turn their contribution to society. So I'd argue it's a win-win for everybody and we shouldn't give too much credence to some of these sour voices.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, given that the difficulties the church is facing, the numbers in the pews that have been decreasing over recent years, how do you explain that these schools are still so oversubscribed?
I think it's because the outcomes of those schools speak so vibrantly and so successfully. However you look at the results, whether you're looking at academic or you're looking at the behaviour and the formation of the young people in our schools, they come out as successful. And to be blunt about it, they come out as often head and shoulders above the other kinds of schools that we have. So our schools are, for instance, ethnically more diverse than other schools in England. And yet that is something that's seldom reported upon. And within our schools, whatever the pupil and their background, we will ensure that they have a very good education, and the results or the analysis of data by the Department for Education and by Ofsted, you know, neither of whom are bodies that owe anything, as it were, to the CES, it's objective data, they show in their data that Catholic schools add more value and increase the performance of the least advantaged children the very most. So it's evident that what we do works, and I think it works for reasons that are very complex, that they're hard to explain. It's a very detailed warp and weft that we weave in our Catholic schools that involves the embracing of parents in a way that keeps them very closely involved and supportive of the schools. It's the dedication of the Catholic staff. It's that commitment, but more than anything, underpinning it all the time, is that mission that we are honoured to be able to serve Christ through the education of our children, and that we are looking to develop their God-given talents so that they serve God through using those talents to their fullness and in the service of humankind.
You mentioned the broad ethnic mix that you have in your schools. There are also many children of other faiths, aren't there? How do you work with this? What sort of challenges does this present to you?
Well, at the moment, we have between 28 and 30% of pupils in our schools other than Catholic. And the important thing is to remember that those children are there not by any force, not because they don't have a choice, but because their parents have chosen a Catholic school for them. They've entrusted their children to us. So they're recognising that there is something in our education that they want to be part of. So they come knowing what will be distinctive in our schools and knowing about the religious education that we'll be providing, the witness that will be taking place. And they participate in that whilst we also respect the importance of their own faith.